Welcome to the DU 80208 podcast. On this episode of the DU podcast, one of our team members, Victoria, is interviewing Dr. Granholm Bentley about her cutting-edge research into Alzheimer's.
Okay, so my name is Lotta Granholm Bentley. I'm the executive director for the Nobel Institute for Healthy Aging at DU. And I've been here 3 years. Since 2016, when we moved into our new space here in the engineering building.
Oh, so did you have your own space, like on the DU campus?
Yeah, this whole floor, actually, the fifth floor on engineering is our space.
That's so great. Where did you, where did you come from, like in terms of like your job or...
So it's actually a long history, but I can make it short. So okay. I was born in Sweden. I went to graduate school in Stockholm. And I worked in the neuroscience department there and learning all about the brain. And then I came as a postdoctoral fellow to CU Anschutz in the 80s. And in about year 2000, I moved down to Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, where I started a center on aging there. And I ran that for 16 years. And grew it in a medical school. So it's quite different from what we're doing here in the Nobel Institute in an undergraduate world.
Yeah. Do you, what things do you like more about this position now? Or is it all worser than the things you did in that?
No, it's not worse. It's very different. When I took the position, I thought this is an experiment. And so it's been going now for 3 years. And I think I could say that the experiment has worked, you know, in some ways and not in other ways. It's very different to run an institute in an undergraduate university compared to a medical school. I think that there are some barriers that we're trying to overcome in terms of different colleges understanding and wanting to work between each other and actually forming a network of researchers across the different departments and colleges. There are some barriers there. But we're hoping that with time that we will prove ourselves valuable for the university.
Yeah, that's understandable. That's great. That was a good answer. I love it. And now I'll actually ask a question. But I just like to have a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess just begin with the research that was like the topic of that article. I don't know if did you actually see the article or read the article? You don't actually have to like... in verbatim like what it was, but
so was this the one about the 3D the printing the printer?
Yeah
absolutely. So I can tell you about the research. It's kind of interesting, actually.
Oh, great.
So since the early 90s I've been very interested in Down syndrome and working on Down syndrome brain, because 80% of people with Down syndrome will get Alzheimer's disease, and we really don't know why that is. We have no idea why that is. So me and about 10 other places in the United States and 3 places in Europe are interested in focusing our effort on trying to find out why it is and helping people with Down syndrome so they can live healthy lives like other people. And so as part of that is studying the brain, to be able to actually look into the brain and look at different parts of the brain and understanding it. But, you know, it's not a rare condition, Down syndrome, but it's a rare enough where you have to really form a consortium of research groups to be able to get enough tissue where it's valuable to study it. Yeah. And so I'm the principal investigator for a network. And so now we have 10 sites. Yeah, we have Barcelona, London, Stockholm, and then several different parts of the United States together. And because I'm the head of it, we had to think of new and crafty ways to actually be able to study the very same part of the brain for each person coming in with a brain donation. And in doing that, what we did is develop a machine that's called a brain jig. And a brain jig, you know, so you know that you can give your brain only after you're dead, and because you won't need it then. And so you can actually take the brain out and you can slice the brain using this brain jig, and you can find the same identical parts of the brain in every person coming in. And so in the network now, we have about 13 different donations from UC Irvine and from Kentucky and from Harvard and some others from Barcelona. And so what we do together with engineering is make this brain jig out of the 3D printer. so that people can, and send it to every site. So when they get the brain, it's just like if you have, a bread slicer.
Yeah.
Because if you go to the bakery at Safeway and you want your bread sliced, yeah, they stick it in and then it slices it, and it's identical slices. The slices all look exactly the same. It's the same thing with this. And so using the 3D printer to be able to get that identical slices of the brain then will allow us to study the exact same part of the brain from all of these 13 brains. And then we can actually come up with some solution as to why people with Down syndrome get Alzheimer's. And if so, if we can find that out, we can also design new methods to treat them.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I'm glad that we're doing good work here at DU.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we are, but, you know, firsthand is better.
Yeah.
How do students, undergrads, get involved in like a project like that?
Oh, it's very easy. Oh. You know, students just come to us all the time. We have several different projects. This project particularly, we had Tim, who's an engineering student, who was in the innovation space, and I walked down there and I said to the faculty, hey, do you have students who can work with us? And Tim said, yes, I can do this. And so that's just one little project. But, for example, we have a big concussion project here. So I don't know if you know about that, but we call it the concussion study at DU. And we constantly have students from all different colleges come and volunteer on that study. So what we do in the study is that we're very interested in seeing if people who have repeated concussions several times, if they will actually develop some Alzheimer biomarkers in the blood. And if so, if they have another concussion and another, does it get worse? Or can we come up with solutions to, you know, where we can actually improve these Alzheimer biomarkers in the blood? So we have now more than 400 of the DU students involved. And of course, everyone wants to work with the hockey team, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we have lots of volunteers who come in. And when it's freshman days, you know, when the moving in days, we're very busy because we are over in the wellness center. We're getting blood samples. We're doing balance testing, memory testing on everyone that comes in as a freshman athlete. And then as they go through their 4 years of college, every time hopefully they don't get concussions, but if they do, we are testing them that day. We're testing 1 week after, 1 month, and 6 months after. And so and we have volunteer students in this project that are anywhere from psychology, from sports medicine, sports performance program, from athletics department, engineering, pre-med, biology students. And all of these students working together is quite amazing. It creates a gel that is so innovative and so dynamic.
Yes. That now I'm glad that I know about that going on at our school, since apparently everyone knows and I don't know.
I don't know if everyone knows, but now they will know.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. I actually work for the newspaper too, so now they may know too, and hopefully
everyone.
I hope
so. Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, see. You've given me a lot of information, so I don't need to ask you too many more questions. You've already addressed this probably a couple times, but do you have any projects in the works? Like, things that, because you have all these, like the concussion and then also sharing, like, brains, but do you have anything that you want to accomplish later on that's maybe related to the current projects or on its own?
Yeah, so we really want, for example, to study older athletes. Okay. So we're hoping to get to our alumni, and especially those alumni that are very interested, that were athletes. Maybe they played on the hockey team, lacrosse team, basketball team, whatever they did. We want to get them involved and get them to come and partake in the study. But we also have a couple of, because we don't have a medical school on campus and we don't have clinics, we have to reach out and work with different clinics. So we're really, really happy that now we have an agreement with the company called Resilience Code. And it actually is Chad Prusmak, who's a neurosurgeon for the Broncos team.
Oh, fun.
And so it's really fun. We're going to send two of our graduate students over to his, it's a gym. It's more than a gym. It's actually, I would say, that Chad is interested in working with older athletes with all aspects of their life. You know, their lifestyle, their exercise, their diet, how can they improve, and so how can they avoid getting dementia that so many older athletes get. You know, all the football players get dementia. Many
really?
Football players get dementia.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And so, but we're working with him and his older Broncos that have retired. And so I'm really excited about that because I think that there are ways we can do to really work together and then we could get students over in his clinic and working with the athletes. It's a valuable experience for the student, mm-hmm. but it's also, you know, it gives us data that are quite unique. I think it's unique for us to be able to work with these different clinics.
Definitely. That was beautiful. And I look forward, I'm going to have to keep up to date on what's happening with all these projects because I have to know now. Is there anything else that you would just like to share about?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it can be anything in general about your path or EACS's path.
Sure.
Anything at all.
Yeah, so one important thing I think that I'm passionate about is actually internships for students. So we have many different places where we can place students, and students who might be interested in, for example, you could be a business student and you might be interested in working with older adults. We have a project called the Financial Security Project, and we can actually get students internships all across town in different companies working on financials. And we have an intergenerational program that we would love to get students involved in, where they can actually go out and work with different assisted living, for example, on art projects, photography projects, all of those different things. And it's really fun to see students engaging with older adults because it's a mutual benefit. And I think the millennials now, this generation of young people, are extremely interested in across generations. And so that's something not to be forgotten. It's very exciting, and we do it all the time. And I'm very happy about that. We're able to do this because, you know, if you're in a medical school and you deal with medical students, there's not that much of an interest in that. Mm-hmm. And they already have a career path, and they know they want to be a neurosurgeon, for example. But here you have students who are artists or journalists or in hospitality or in business, and all of those students should really know that in aging there's a lot of career opportunities and there's many high-paying jobs, and it's a very rewarding world.
That's beautiful. I love it, and I'm glad you included that part because I do know how I do see a lot of internships coming out of mm-hmm. ECS that aren't like taken up, I think, but now people will know and hopefully take them up.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you would like to contact Dr. Granholm Bentley, email lotta.granholm-bentley@du.edu. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email thedupodcast@gmail.com. Tune in again next week.